couple dogs and a couple songs on the radio. And we sit around and we laugh about how we used to be, when all we cared about was turning 16.
The only thing I see ahead is just the heat rising off the road. The rainbows I've been chasing keep on fading before I find my pot of gold. And more.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. An antitrust suit over high concert ticket prices, among other things, for the Justice Department and 30 state attorneys general.
It's time to restore competition and innovation in the entertainment industry. It is time to break up Live Nation, Ticketmaster. The American people are ready for it.
Attorney General Merrick Garland, Live Nation, in a statement denying the allegations, saying it is hurt by existing competition. The first state visit to the U.S. by an African leader in more than 15 years is by Kenya's President Ruto. The White House says the visit will strengthen a shared commitment to peace and security, defending democracy, and expanding economic ties. House Republicans have summoned the leaders of Northwestern and Rutgers universities to testify about concessions they gave to pro-Palestinian protesters to end demonstrations on campuses. This is ABC News. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, at a gathering of G7 finance ministers in Italy, repeats her view that sanctions on Russia are effective.
On sanctions as a tool, Janet Yellen maintains,
we've imposed coordinated sanctions to further diminish Russia's revenues and restrict its access to technology and material.
But despite such measures, Moscow's economy grew by 2.2% last year. And directly because of the sanctions, China is now Russia's main trading partner. For its oil, Russia's getting high-tech Chinese electronic components in return.
ABC's Tom Rivers. Airbnb is partnering with ChargePoint and offering hosts discounts on electric vehicle chargers. Hosts get 25% off chargers and $100 off installation. Airbnb says listings with electric vehicle chargers see more searches and bookings. On Wall Street, looks some profit-taking is going on. The Dow is down over 300 points. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains from May 24th through June 3rd. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
With Wendy's new $3 English muffin deal, you can get your choice of a sausage or bacon, egg, and cheese English muffin with small seasoned potatoes.
And with all that for just $3, it really is a proper breakfast, wouldn't you say? Huh? With a light and fluffy toasted English muffin and crispy seasoned potatoes. Go on, Catherine, give it a go.
Okay. Jolly good morning.
Ah, close, love. Grab a proper breakfast with Wendy's new $3 English muffin deal for a limited time.
U.S. price and participation may vary. Select a request English muffin deal to obtain discount. Not valid for a la carte combo orders. Single item at regular price. Prices are higher in Alaska and Hawaii.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Ahlen. Former Janesville High School coach who hit a camera in a girl's locker room is heading to prison. 38-year-old Brian Kitzman was arrested in May of last year after the camera was discovered in a Craig High School locker room. Kitzman, who later admitted to secretly recording naked videos of girls as far back as 2015, pleaded guilty in December to several counts connected to the recordings. A Rock County judge sentenced Kitzman Wednesday to 19 years in prison and 19 years of extended supervision, or 1 year for each of his victims. He'll be required to register as a sex offender for 15 years once he's released. A manure spill into a west central Wisconsin creek killed fish along more than a mile.
According to the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, the failure of a dairy farm's manure handling system last weekend resulted in the spill. An angler reported the fish kill in Moore Creek in Monroe County on Saturday. The DNR then traced the kill back to that manure spill at the dairy farm The agency did not identify the farm, but said an investigation is ongoing. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
A Madison utility expects it'll be a few days before power is fully restored following storms on Tuesday night.
Madison Gas and Electric spokesman Steve Schultz calls the severe storms historic and that they haven't seen numbers like this in decades as far as outages. Schultz says it was a big wind event with hurricane-force winds, which broke hundreds of poles. Just fixing one pole can take a full day. MG&E is reaching out to mutual assistance groups in an effort to secure additional crews to help with restoration efforts. In Madison, Robin Colbert, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care, plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. A beautiful sunshine day with highs hitting the mid-70s. It's the warmest and nicest day of the week, so get out and enjoy it. As more showers and thunderstorms surge in by tomorrow afternoon and linger through the evening. One call to Tax Solutions Now will solve all of your IRS problems. 1-800-281-8193. Currently, it's 76.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Today, including potential impacts on demand for U.S. ag products, there are some major elections for our neighbor and number one trade partner coming up very soon. And let's talk about a weird start to the 2024 planting season and go rootworm hunting with Iowa State.
Live from the Globe, via Farm Journal Studios, this is AgriTalk. This morning we'll begin with a conversation with Dan Bossi from Ag Resource. Then it's Ken Ferry from Crop Tech Consulting. Later, Ashley Dean from Iowa State University Extension. Directly following the news, Greg Henderson from Drovers. I, the handsome newsman, Davis Michelson. And now, welcome the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lorre.
All right, Davis. Hey, thank you so much. Wow.
Yeah.
What a beautiful day in the middle of the country.
Samesies. Down here, the sun is so bright today. Gorgeous.
Oh, it is gorgeous. What? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's going to be warm, but not hot. It's the sun is going to be shining most of the day. Unfortunately, it all leads to some storms tonight and into tomorrow morning.
Well, you had to go there, didn't you? You couldn't just leave it at what a beautiful sunshiny day.
The reality is reality, dude. You got to deal with it.
We don't sugarcoat it here on AgriTalk, do we?
That's right.
Real bullets.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Speaking of that, does it sound a little dangerous to go rootworm hunting?
It does sound actually a lot dangerous.
Right.
Whew, we better get to the bottom of this, Chip.
Well, we need to bring in an expert.
Okay. Let's do that.
Yeah, we'll do that. So we've got Ashley Dean coming up at the end of the show today. We're going to be talking about how Iowa farmers can participate in the rootworm tracking program that is happening at Iowa State. And we're going to find out from Ken Ferry about some early season weed and bug issues. It's coming on earlier than, I don't know if it's than it ever has, but it is exceptionally early in the season for some of the bug and weed issues that we're dealing with. And then Dan Bossi is going to be with us in the next segment. We've got some global political issues that I want to talk about with Dan. Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That is Davis. Let's get to the news, buddy.
With Ken Ferry, though, we're talking just audio, right? I mean, I want to be able to tell who's who.
It'll be fine.
Okay.
It will be fine. I'm sure that somehow, some way, you will be able to figure out which one is Ken and which one's me.
Yeah. Very good. Very good, then. The National Weather Service weather outlook. Heavy rain and severe weather threats across the Arc-Latex region today will expand northwards across the northern and central plains tonight.
Heavy rain and severe threats will shift eastward into the Midwest and remain across the Arklatex region on Friday. Heavy snow expected today across the higher elevations of the northern Rockies. I just like saying Arklatex. I think that's hilarious. But
I know you do.
And, severe and weather threats in the Arkansas, Louisiana, Texas sort of region there, everybody. All.
And it's been kind of a tough situation down there on occasion. Yeah. And there's some storms down there today going through eastern Arkansas right now.
Yep. Well, a Barron's article says, quote, commodities are having their moment. Gold and copper have hit historic highs while agriculture is knocking on the door to join the party. The VIX fear gauge is pointing to almost no fear in equity markets at all, and that's probably not the right attitude for markets facing a knife-edge presidential election, a confusing economy, and a Federal Reserve in two minds about rate cuts. This, according to the Wall Street Journal's Streetwise's James McIntosh. Chip, what's that about when everyone is fearful? I don't remember how that ends. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure either, The bottom line is you should be a contrarian in a lot of these markets. That's the bottom line of the story.
There you go. Well said. Well, the nearly 940-page House Farm Bill includes provisions for farm food, safety, and nutrition programs with a 5-year reauthorization period. House Republicans are striving for bipartisan support, but face significant Democratic opposition, particularly over proposed freezes to SNAP payments, changes to environmental and conservation programs, and restricting the Ag Secretary's use of Commodity Credit Corporation funding. USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack slammed the House Republican-led farm bill just ahead of today's markup. Vilsack argued that the bill relies on unrealistic budget strategies and overpromises improvements to farm programs.
Yeah, this is coming down on party lines. There's no question about it. You've got Sorensen out of Illinois, Craig out of Minnesota, that... They come from farm districts. They're Democrats in the House. They come from farm districts, and they've already gone to G.T. Thompson and said, "Listen, we're going to have to vote no on this because of party issues." It's not about what's in the bill. It's not about what's in the bill. It's all about politics.
Well, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen said earlier today that it is important for G7 countries and other economies to show China that it faces a, quote, wall of opposition over its excess industrial capacity, which Yellen says threatens to flood the world with cheap exports. China launched large-scale military drills surrounding Taiwan, a warning shot that will test the island's newly inaugurated president. Taiwan says its forces now on alert in response to Chinese regime military drills encircling the island.
24/7, 365, it should be the alert for the Taiwan forces when it comes to keeping an eye on what China's doing.
Hey, and it's going to get a little cheaper to see Nickelback, maybe. The Justice Department, several states anticipated to file an antitrust lawsuit against Live Nation targeting its Ticketmaster unit for alleged market dominance. This lawsuit could potentially lead to significant changes in the live events industry. I would argue significant changes are needed. Chip.
All right. Good stuff, Davis. Thank you so much. Let's bring in Greg Henderson, editorial director of Drovers. How you doing, Greg?
Good morning, Chip. I'm fine. Thank you.
All right. Something is happening, Greg, that frankly does not make a lot of economic sense. Beef exports are doing really well this year, even with beef prices north of $300 a hundred. I don't know how that makes sense.
Well, absolutely. So year-to-date beef export, just the product, is down about 4%. But the value, Chip, is up 6%. And not all of that is due to higher prices. A lot of that is due to demand. And so yesterday, Chip, I attended the U.S. Meat Export Federation opening conference sessions, and the demand equation is just we've got a unique product. Nobody else in the world produces beef like American beef, and so that's why it's in great demand. One of the issues right now is that not only are we dealing with inflation, but the strength of the U.S. dollar is holding beef exports back a little bit. For example, the Japanese yen is, 10 to 12% lower than it was last year. So that hurts their borrowing power for the U.S. But, Chip, I want to tell you that the the Foreign Ag Service Director, Dan Whitley, was there yesterday, and he encourages U.S. To focus more on Africa in the coming years, because by the 2050, when we have 10 billion people, 25% of those people will live on the continent of Africa. Wow. So he says we need to, and get this, Chip, 70% of Africans right now are under 30 years of age.
Holy smokes.
A growing market, right?
Yeah, no doubt. If you want to talk about where labor to make stuff is going to be coming from, and that means higher wages, higher income, and more demand for more food in the future. That's where it's at. Good stuff, Greg. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, Chip.
All right, Dan Bossi is up next from Ag Resource Company here on AgriTalk.
Level up your lineup with new Zalo herbicide. A convenient soluble premix formulated for glufosinate-tolerant soybean, cotton, and canola with better average weed control than the Liberty herbicide. Get post-emergence broadleaf weed control, plus multiple modes of action for broad-spectrum contact and systemic grass control. Take control up a notch. Visit amvac.com/Zalo.
This is Andrew McCray, host of the American Countryside. I'm also a farmer and rancher from Northwest Missouri, and I hope you'll join me each week for Farming the Countryside as we take a look at the top issues impacting agriculture as told by the people farming and working in our industry. We'll talk about markets and trade, share some of the latest tips and trends for grain and livestock producers, and take a look at trends impacting rural America. Join me for Farming the Countryside on many local radio stations or on your favorite podcast platform, or just go to farmingthecountryside.com.
Mom's early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take.
And when I left the oven on, we decided together that it was time to see a doctor and make a plan.
Early detection gave us more time to seek out information and support as a family.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/time-to-talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Hey guys, it's me, Isabella Gomez, filling in for Smokey Bear, because he's got more to say than
wildfires.
Like, if you're outside enjoying a barbecue, don't let a hamburger distract you from fire safety. Make sure you aren't dumping your hot coals or ashes onto the ground, because that could start a wildfire. So take wildfire prevention seriously, and let's save the world one day at a time. Juntos con Smokey Bear, podemos hacerlo. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm.
Got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2024 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions, with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wissoybean.org.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Empower Dairy from Merck Animal Health, making the way you want to work, work better than ever before. See how at m-power-dairy.com.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Glad that you are with us. Just doing a little bit of behind-the-scene work there. Sorry. Mm-hmm. You've now got 100% of my attention, Davis.
Gosh. Okay. Well, I was going to just say something ridiculous, but if I've got 100% of your attention, I should say something really insightful.
Can I add this?
Okay.
Okay. It's quality. That's what we're talking about with Greg Henderson.
Uh-huh.
When he says that the U.S. is offering a unique product, to the global buyers of beef, it is all about quality. And, dude, how long is have we been talking about this? You go back, is it 5 years to the U.S.-China, maybe even 6 years, to the U.S.-China trade talks? And when a ribeye seems to have turned the table, and turned the conversation in that whole trade negotiation, and that's none that we're not making that up. That's not over exaggeration. Chinese negotiator sat down at the table, ate a U.S. beef ribeye, and was pretty much blown away.
Yep, I remember that. We reported on that meal.
Yeah. Yeah, and it made a difference. It made it made a positive, had a positive influence on the way that that conversation was going. So it's very interesting, very interesting. There are a lot of comments flowing to the news flowing out into the news from Democrats on the House Ag Committee now.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about that.
Okay. And it's one of these deals where some of the Democrats have been active in the conversation. Okay? Some have been active in, I'm looking at Spanberger out of Virginia. She's on the House Ag Committee. And it's not unusual for her to release a statement that has something to do with the Farm Bill negotiation. It's more common, I think, to see something on the Farm Bill from Spanberger than it is to see something from David Scott, the ranking member on the House Ag Committee about the Farm Bill. Very rarely see anything from Craig out of Minnesota, Sorensen out of Illinois. Although they, as I mentioned, they're both in the in farm districts in those states. Okay,
yeah, just got a note. I think we have Dan.
Yep, let's go ahead and jump over to that. We've got Dan Bossi from Ag Resource Company. Dan, it's great for you to join us. How you doing, buddy?
I'm really well, Chip, and I hope you are also.
Absolutely, doing real well, real well. I want to talk about a couple of different things, but I want to start with our friends to the south in Mexico. They've got a presidential election coming up. I believe it's next Sunday on June 2nd.
Right.
What are you watching in that whole process?
Well, we're kind of watching how it's going to be impacting U.S. trade. You know, Elmo is likely to move along. We are excited about the next candidates. Both of them are pro-U.S. trade. Their economy is growing strongly. Ag imports from the United States, particularly corn, are at record large. So we're encouraged. And, you know, this GMO dispute that's been ongoing will likely be dropped. And so we're all looking for opportunities. And we believe that Mexico is a strong demand driver for U.S. meats and grains going forward.
You know, even Sheinbaum, who I think I'm saying that name right, who is Obrador's pick and from his party, and a big Sheinbaum has been a big supporter of Obrador's. But even Sheinbaum has said, you know, some of the things that we've had to deal with over the last year are kind of a personal agenda for Obrador. And I think part of that she was referring to was the GMO dispute, correct?
No, that's right. And you know, again, as you think about the world that it used to be U.S.-centric, maybe now it's a duopoly with China and the United States, Mexico has chosen to align itself with the United States for obvious reasons. And so there was this personal, I don't want to call it vendetta, but let's just say angst, if you will, against U.S. corn and the GMO issue. But I think Mexico now understands that, you know, U.S. corn is going to be very important to them going forward. And so when you look at the drought that's affected them in the last really 16 months, there's no way for them to get around U.S. corn. And there's not enough non-GMO in the world that they could source their supply from to really feed their population.
Right, right. Yeah. There is a choice out there, but if you initiate it and contract for that supply before we start putting seed in the ground and before anybody starts putting seed in the ground, and they just and that has not happened. And the importers and the end users in Mexico seem perfectly comfortable using GMO product, correct?
Oh, they've been using it just like we have. I don't think anybody down there has grown a third leg or arm. And so I think it's a history, if you will, of GMO being safe, going backwards almost 20 years. So, I think it was something that was environmental or something that Elmo really got in love with. But at the end of the day, Mexico is going to take, we believe in the year ahead, something like 22 to 23 million tons of corn. To pay up for non-GM would really cost them dearly, and it's not something that is going to help their population.
That's right. That's exactly right. Okay. Number one issue on their list is the violence down in Mexico. I don't know if that is going to have a major impact on U.S.-Mexico relations or not, Dan.
Well, we don't think so. Again, I think more and more companies are looking at the Mexican opportunity as they move away from China. You can maybe look at India. You can look at Bangladesh. But when you've got someone like Mexico in your backyard, it just seems to me that relationships like that will get worked out. And so, you know, again, I believe we've got the border issue and we've got all those kind of things. But that'll be ferreted out by the next president of the United States, whether it's Biden or Trump. And we'll see what happens after that. But at the moment, the growth engine of Mexico seems to be very strong and ongoing. And I don't think they want to do anything to disrupt that and change the flow of trade, which is extremely beneficial for Mexico here today.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Let's talk about what's going on in the veg oil markets, the global veg oil markets. What's the latest?
Well, the one latest thing is that if we're looking at the EU and its crop size is getting smaller, maybe by the tune of 2 to 2.5 million tons. They hit a frost freeze a couple of weeks back, and it's really shot the EU rape market higher. I think that's it's a component that we're watching in terms of feedstocks for renewable diesel. You're also, of course, seeing that the palm oil market has struggled mightily, as we just haven't seen the Chinese demand to really offtake it. So that is what we've been looking at. Though something that's coming into the fore is that India has, the monsoon has been relatively dry and inactive so far. So if India has a weather problem that affects some of its oilseed crops, the whole world dynamics in veg oil gets very interesting quickly. But for the moment, UCO, or used cooking oil from China, is about the same price as soybean oil. That tells me that soybean oil has kind of stabilized here, but there's no movement on changing on UCO from China, at least politically speaking. That needs to happen if you want to have a significant rally in the veg oil or the soybean oil market here in the United States.
Yeah. Don't we need to tighten the screws on what defines used cooking oil on the import market?
I think first, Chip, we need to define what a feedstock of used cooking oil really is. Today, there's not a definition that is available. And so it's a kind of a one size fits all. And so if there's a blend of virgin palm oil with maybe 3% of a used cooking oil in it from China, that works. And so this is where we need to define what is used cooking oil. What makes up the characteristics that is important for, I would say, the environment and for California and others. And then we need to have some policement, if you will, on whether or not those standards are being met. Today, it's just the wild, wild west, and we've not even defined what used cooking oil is, and this is why the Chinese are able to put a hot dog and a french fry in a cargo and say it's used, and it meets at least the ability of these plants to bring it in and get subsidy.
Man, I tell you what, when it comes to trade and trade with China in particular, you have to define everything, and defining used cooking oil as used cooking oil isn't good enough in this case. It needs to be much better defined. Dan, thanks for the time this morning, buddy. Appreciate you.
Always good to talk, Chip. Be well. Bye-bye.
All right. Dan Bossi, Ag Resource Company. Ken Ferry's next.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
I taught for 20 years, until I started forgetting my lectures.
Eventually, he had to quit. Getting his early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard, but it gave us time to take control of the situation, together.
I can't imagine going through this without him.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/timetotalk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
Milk markets are higher with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnikins at the Mercantile Exchange. June milk up 3 to 1998, July up 9 to 1996, August up 15 to 1984, September steady at 1957. Live and feeder cattle markets moving a bit mixed today. A lot of positioning ahead of the cattle on feed report. And also we have the three-day holiday weekend as well just around the corner. So there's a lot of positioning happening in the markets. Now hogs moving mostly higher today after the recent long liquidation. Again, some of this is short covering in the market. June live cattle up 10 cents to 184.27. May feeder cattle down 42 cents to 249.95. June hogs up 35 cents to 95.75. At the Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat are all moving mostly higher. U.S. weather continues to offer mixed signals. The eastern corn belt missed out on the rains over the last few days, with corn and soybean planting making good progress in portions of the eastern belt, but more rain is on the way. It's the global weather challenges in Brazil and Russia that's really helping to support many of the grain contracts today. July corn up 5 1/4 to 466.5. New crop up 3 3/4 to 487 3/4. July beans up 3 3/4 to 1250. New crop up 5 to 1223 1/4. Chicago wheat July up 8 to 701. With markets, I'm Brian Winnikins.
Dairy farmers, extend the life of your investment and keep the milk inspector happy when you resurface your mangers, feed bunks, feed carts, and more with a microepoxy surface from Osteoplastics and Supply. The microepoxy surface provides for easier cleaning of feed bunks, less feed waste, offers a non-skid surface, and withstands extreme temperatures and chemicals. You can repair your floors and equipment for less than replacing, and the increased milk production will pay for the installation. Find out more. Visit osteoplastics.com.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel. If you're not into the whole added power thing, Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. When news breaks, the newsmakers talk about it on AgriTalk with Chip Flory.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Glad you're with us. Joining us now, Ken Ferry, Farm Journal agronomist from Crop Tech Consulting down in Hayworth, Illinois. You know, I don't do this enough. Ken, when you're on, I'm going to do it right now. Make sure that you guys are checking out Boots in the Field. It's Ken's regular report. You can get to it from agweb.com. You can get to it at croptechinc.com. But whatever you do, find a way to listen to Boots in the Field. It's some very timely and good information in there that you guys need to be thinking about. Ken, It's good to talk to you again, buddy. How you doing?
Doing really good.
Good, good, good. Okay, so I want to start with beans, Ken. Take me through this early season on soybeans, the planting season into the emergence. What are some of the things that you're noticing?
Well, you know, it's been a push-pull season all the way through, so there probably isn't as many real early beans planted as guys would want. Mm-hmm. And then so many of these heavy downpours in between. So we got some pretty good bean stands, but we're having to help a lot of them up after these last, you know, 2.5-3 inch downpours that we had. So the soybean, you know, are fighting that crust. And yeah, that's a challenge, right? When everybody's still trying to finish up planting the first time around, I have to go back and help some of these beans out.
How do you make general, the decision that it's time to go out there with a rotary hoe or something?
Well, we use the term hoe before you know, and in reality is you got to get there when the hoe will do some good. You know, a lot of the time when I get called and I get there, you break a screwdriver trying to get it in the ground and you can't do anything with the hoe at that point. But as a rule of thumb, guys know where their farms are. They get in trouble, what we call our timbered clays, that you get a hard drive and half inch of rain on it after planting. You just probably better come back with the hoe and break that crust. You know, that's what's giving us trouble is the not half inches of rain. We're getting 2 and 3 inches of rain in pockets. It's a, we'll seal that up, you know, before we can get it out of the ground.
Okay. So are guys having to replant some
beans? The hole running. Yeah. And that's some of what we're doing today. We're trying to get the corn planted, but at the same time making replant calls on both corn and soybeans. But, there is going to have to be a round of replanting on soybeans and probably to some extent less on corn, but we're replanting because of hail, because of crust, because of PPO damage on the beans. Yeah. So there's a lot of mixed bag of things going on this spring.
Okay. You handle those replants two different ways. You do it differently on beans than what you do it on corn. Talk about some of those differences.
Yeah. So, you know, we're urging our guys that as they get to the finish line on the first time around planting, we have to make the decisions on replanting corn quickly because that's the most costly. And when we talk about replanting corn, we have to take, it's just too big a loss to try to thicken a stand up. You know, guys, I'm down around 10,000 or 18,000 this morning. We were at a field 18,000. Can I stick some more plants next to it? You can't do that with corn. So with corn, you have to take out your existing stand and start over. There's way too much competition and it's too hard on yield. If you, you know, if you don't have the woofa to rip it out, you probably have a good enough stand to keep because you're in trouble there. Soybeans, a little bit different. If you interplant into soybeans, you will not increase the yield, but you would improve your weed control. And that's something this year is going to be big because these weeds are just crazy out here. And you're going to need a good full tight stand, you know, to ward off all the weed issues that we fight out there clear out into August, you know, when all the herbicides have given up.
Okay. Weeds are crazy out there. Early scouting reports, Ken, talk about what you're seeing in fields this year. It's happening earlier than what it normally should be. And guys need to pay attention.
Yeah, I'm just discouraged with the amount of weeds coming through all of our pre-emergence programs. It doesn't seem to matter what it is. No doubt, if you see a skip in the application in the field, you know your pre's are working. But the amount of water hemp that we're dealing with out here coming through way earlier than we want. We're not even done planting, and the ground's starting to light up with, you know, water hemp. So there's going to have to be some earlier post applications made, and guys are going to have to stay on this because especially in the PPO arena or the GMO, non-GMO arena, they're going to have to think about things like row crop cultivators and these wide rows and stuff because this pressure just seems to be breaking everywhere.
Yeah. Well, and it's not just weeds, as I understand. You're also finding some bugs that seem to be showing up a few days early.
Yeah, we're actually today spraying for first generation corn borer non-GMO Jeez. Corn. And by calendar, you'd say, well, that is nuts. You know, that shouldn't happen. But by insect heat units, it's not off base. We about 840 insect heat units January 1, you should see first instar corn borer larvae. And where we're spraying down by Jackson, Illinois, they're at 866. And get a load of this, Chip. Our 11-year average would be around 420, 430, and we're at 866 insect heat units. And a big chunk of that came in March. It's one of the warmest March that we've seen. So so your overwintering insects are on that cycle. Just like our wheat was early, we sprayed our fungicides early, our hay is early. The stuff that's, you know, running off of, you want to call it January 1st heat units, which means a rootworm larvae are going to show up early, that type of thing. So kind of tough to stop, you know, stop and spray corn that's at V6 when you're still planting the rest of the crop. But it's been one of those crazy years.
Yeah. Okay. Still planting the rest of the crop. That last 10 or 15% is always the toughest to get planted. I'm not saying that it's late right now, but I look at the weather forecast, Ken, and it feels like it's going to get late on some of these acres, especially north of you, in the northern production areas. But is it too soon to be thinking about adjusting the maturity on some of the hybrids? Do we need to make changes?
You know, and it does depend on what you started out with for your full season maturities. Sure. For down here, we're telling our guys to stay the course on their full season hybrids all the way to the 25th. You know, 117, 18 day corn by itself will adjust to about 4 days off of that. So it'll adjust to the planting window that you're putting it in. So I think our guys are going to be able to finish up, but now a lot of guys would, if you haven't got any corn planted, you know, yeah, by the end of this week, you're probably going to want to start making adjustments down and shortening that maturity up to make sure you don't have too big of a hassle there, you know, when it comes to the first frost in the fall.
Yeah. That's a tough decision to make, isn't it? To change, you know, to send back seed and take some shorter season variety, because it seems like they're just giving up early in the season. I shouldn't say giving up, but they're backing off early in the season. That's hard to do.
Yeah. We have, in plots, we have harvested 300 bushel corn planted June 2nd. So we're going to be reluctant to back off because you lose some of your disease protection, that type of thing. You know, and the other thing is, if you start backing off too hard, then you're going to jam up your fall, right? All the corn's going to be ready at once. But for our guys down here, they are going to have to think about spending some money on dryer gas, maybe. That's something up north that's a common. Down here, it isn't. You know, that some of this corn, if you want to stay on time with your fall work, you're probably going to have to put some dryer gas to it.
Right, right. Okay. Ken, just a couple of minutes left, but I'm going to go. You've seen guys make all kinds of mistakes at this time of the year. It does, and it shows up later at when the combines are rolling. What mistakes do you want guys to don't do this, prevent these mistakes? What's at the top of the list?
Well, you know, definitely we call it the sins of spring, right? When we get out and we're working this ground wet. And this past week, there was a lot of sins committed down here. We've got a lot of ground that got worked wet in a panic to get it planted. And then we end up with a lot of clods. And then yesterday we had dust storms down here. We're crazy. Unfortunately, those compaction layers that we were laying in to get this thing planted are going to haunt us in July, August. And if we don't take the compaction out this fall, it'll haunt us into the future. As guys think about, you know, trying to go to no-till and some of these climate initiative programs and stuff, doing that on top of compaction is usually a train wreck. And I saw a lot of fields this year that are going to have more than a density layer. They're going to have some pretty substantial compaction. Yeah, nothing we can do about it this spring. We got to get this crop in the ground, but we got to recognize the fact that there's going to be a layer under there, and it has to be dealt with before we would think about taking that into, for instance, no-till corn.
Yep, that's exactly the point I was going to make. Just understand some of the mistakes and some of the issues that you might be creating so that you can get back out there and correct them later. Ken, it's always fun to talk with you. One of these years, we're going to be talking about a beautiful planting season. It's just not this one.
Yeah, this one's got a little bit of everything in it. I'm afraid 2024 is going to go down as the year of erosion, too. So wind and water.
Yep, it's something to see. Ken, thanks. That's Ken Ferry, Farm Journal agronomist and Crop Tech Consulting. We'll be back with more AgriTalk.
Hi, I'm...
My friends swim no matter the season, but my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis can sometimes take me out of the moment. Now, thanks to Skyrizi and Clear Skin, count me in. With Skyrizi, Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. 3 out of 4 people achieve 90% clear skin at 4 months.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Ask your doctor today about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist-prescribed biologic in psoriasis. And visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FACE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FACE. Enjoy.
Joining me now is Amanda Welsh, Marketing Director for the Cattle Business Unit at Merck Animal Health. Amanda, tell me about the M-Power from Merck Animal Health. What is it?
Yeah, Chip, M-Power is actually our comprehensive dairy portfolio that brings together all flex identification projects, Sense Hub dairy monitoring, and comprehensive biopharma solutions all under the umbrella of Merck Animal Health.
Okay, so what makes the M-Power dairy portfolio by Merck Animal Health different from other industry portfolios out there?
Yeah, thanks for asking. So we think it's 3 key areas. First, how comprehensive it is. It really is a full solution. Second, we have an experienced and really excited technical support team to help our customers. And finally, the products really offer compounding value with solutions that amplify each other.
Okay. Why should producers be excited about what is offered from the M-Power Dairy portfolio?
You know, they should be excited because it includes all the powerful tools producers need to run a profitable dairy. But just as importantly, all those tools work together to eliminate the guesswork and solve specific problems and put more milk in the tank, honestly, because we know that the dairy industry is changing and Merck is leading that charge with this innovative solutions focused approach to give producers greater control over their herd performance.
Excellent. Excellent. Where can listeners go for more information on M-Power by Merck Animal Health?
Yep, it's pretty easy. They can go to m-power-dairy.com to learn more.
Excellent. We've been talking about the M-Power Dairy Portfolio by Merck Animal Health with Amanda. Thank you, Amanda. That is Amanda Welsh, Marketing Director for the Cattle Business Unit at Merck Animal Health.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public, the list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. Discover how local relationship managers and global sector expertise can help you address challenges and seize opportunities. Rabo AgriFinance. Learn more at raboag.com. Ever since I met
your girl, you've been on. Welcome back to AgriTalk. Davis, that conversation with Ken Ferry, it reminded me that, you know, we joke about it all the time, saying, well, no two growing seasons are ever exactly the same. Well, 2024 is setting up to be kind of a very unique, at least start to the growing season here so far. It's it is really something. When you got Ken kind of scratching his head over conditions that he's had to deal with down in central Illinois.
Well, man, he's no spring chicken in this in this business. He's about seen it all.
Yes, he has. Yes, he has. All right. Let's bring the conversation over to Iowa and keep some production conversation going. We've got Ashley Dean. Ashley is an agriculture and natural resources extension specialist at Iowa State University, and she joins us right now. Ashley, welcome to AgriTalk. How are you?
I am great. How are you?
Good, good, good. Okay, so bug problems are revealing themselves a little earlier than normal this year. We always say it's never too early to start scouting, but it sounds like you better get out there and take a look and check out what's going on in the corn and soybean fields, right?
Absolutely. I agree. It's never too early to look. If there's seed in the ground or plants emerging, I think it's a great time to look for insects.
Yeah. And some of the bugs are showing up early. It's got to have something to do with the winter that that we had. Does that have an impact on bug populations in the following spring?
Oh, certainly. Especially if they are overwintering in, you know, the northern region where we are, where it's kind of harsh to overwinter. If they can successfully do that, which I think a lot of insects did because we had such a mild winter, we can just see more of the normal insects that we see, but also insects that wouldn't typically survive could survive better than usual. So, yep, I'm expecting to see quite a few insects this summer.
Right, right. And as we were just talking about with Ken, you know, we talk about growing degree day accumulation and how that impacts the development of a corn crop. Well, it impacts the development of the soybean, or the soybean, of the pests out there as well, doesn't it?
Yes. Yep. They develop very similar to plants. They they require heat in order to be able to grow. So growing degree days is a pretty good measure for insect development as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Cool. Okay. In Iowa, we've been talking about the issues with rootworms, both the western and the northern corn rootworms over the past few years. It's become a serious pest in the state, hasn't it?
Absolutely. It is our number one insect pest of corn in Iowa.
Okay. Okay, and that is measured by what? By bushels lost? By just area of infestation? What is it?
Oh, I think all of the above. They're quite devastating. So the larvae are feeding on the roots, and that feeding alone can cause up to 50% yield loss. But then sometimes those plants lodge and fall to the ground, and then they're very hard to pick up at harvest. So that can exacerbate those losses. But also it's widespread. So it pretty much every cornfield in Iowa is at risk, right? Not everyone will have a high infestation, but especially continuous cornfields, which we have quite a few of, just have problems that are year in and year out pretty much. Right.
Okay. Yeah. And when they start feeding on the silks, you know, you've really got a problem out there. You are trapping and tracking the rootworm populations in the state. It's the fifth year of this effort. Tell us about it.
Yeah, you're right. This is our fifth year. This is our sixth year for trapping in Iowa, but this is our fifth year of a regional effort. So we have a few goals with this. The first is to get people out scouting, right? We want to get traps in their hands so that they can go out and kind of assess those populations in the field. But also another goal is just to kind of monitor changes over time. So all of the extension and industry folks that are involved with our regional network, we're really interested in seeing how populations are changing over time. So those are our goals. And what we do is we give traps away. So in Iowa, I can give 50 sets of traps to people and have them go out and trap in their fields.
Okay. And these traps are pretty easy to handle. I mean, they're just sticky cards, right?
Yeah. The hardest part is that they're sticky. Everything else is very easy. All you need to do is identify a row in your field that you can put these traps in. And so we recommend putting them a little ways from the field edge, because just as a general rule, there are a lot of insects that gather at the edges of fields. So we don't want to sample there. That's kind of a biased sampling. So we get a ways into the field, maybe about 50 rows or so. And then they're just down a single row, put 4 to 6 traps out, and then swap them out weekly. It's a pretty easy protocol.
Okay. If a grower would like to participate in this research, how do they do that? Where do they go?
So they could contact me. So, of course, I'm giving away traps for Iowa, but I could certainly put people who are not in Iowa in touch with people who have networks in other states. I could also just send traps to them if there isn't an existing network in their state. So a good way to get a hold of me would be my email, which is adean@iastate.edu. Or you could also visit rootwormipm.org, and there's a bunch of contact information there as well.
Fantastic. Give us that website again, Ashley.
It's rootwormipm.org.
Perfect. Perfect. Ashley, thank you so much for your time and for doing this important work. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
You bet. Ashley Dean, Agriculture and Natural Resources Extension Specialist at Iowa State University. Thank you so much for listening this morning. Come back this afternoon. Pete Meyer from Muddy Boots Ag. And tomorrow morning, it's a free-for-all already.
Agriculture drives this country.
Congress recently invested $20 billion in conservation practices.
These programs help small farmers better their practice at a cost that they can afford.
They've helped me to not only take care of my family, but to take care of the land.
Today, these funds are at risk. Congress, protect conservation funding in the Farm Bill and keep agriculture viable for future generations. Learn more at investinourland.org. Paid for by Invest in Our Land.
Are you prepared for an emergency? Or a VIF, but when? Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
At Lowe's, save big every day when you buy in bulk. Get a free pneumatic nailer when you buy a pallet of select Metabo HPT nails. And there's more. Save 10% on select shingles when you buy in bulk. Visit us in-store or online for low prices on the materials you need. Because Lowe's knows savings. Lowe's knows pros. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details.
Were you uninvited to game night? Do you play board games with the ferocious intensity of an iron-fisted